Yo, what is up, chumps? Welcome back. This is Layton. Joining me, as always, are my good pals, John and Nate. Nate, how are you doing? You're looking really spiffy in that polo shirt.
Hey, thank you, Layton. I appreciate it. I got home straight from work, immediately got into an online Madden game. So right now I'm rocking the business up top and a party down below. So you guys can't see the gym shorts I'm rocking right now. But
At least
yeah,
you're wearing pants.
it's definitely the PE coach's look right now.
Very nice. How is Madden 23? Is it spectacular?
It's pretty fun. I've enjoyed it. I went through a full franchise right away. I didn't really tool around much with the GM
Classic.
stuff or anything. Chiefs were, I think they ended 17-2 on the year, won the Super
Whoa.
Bowl. Yep, we beat the Packers in the Super Bowl, so
Well, that's
it was pretty easy
unrealistic.
sledding. But I've been getting more into the online Madden scene, which I've really never done in years past. But it's been pretty fun so far. The Ravens are just a cheat code with their run option. It's ridiculous. I hate very first game I got into, I played against the Ravens, and Lamar ran for like 250. So I honestly thought about uninstalling the game right then and there, but we're
It's
sticking with
almost
it.
like
We're
he's
getting
a
better.
running back.
Crazy.
Got him. There we go. We're
There it
good. It's fun
is.
though.
We got
You
it
guys
in.
should definitely get it so we can do a connected franchise. I'd love to
I
smoke
probably
y'all.
won't.
I still have the old Xbox, and I only have 500 gig of storage on my Xbox. So I like am constantly like uninstalling a game so that I can buy a new game and download it. So
Feel that.
I need to make an upgrade to the new Xbox before I do that. But I do really want to buy it.
It's fun. I Xboxes are available now. I know they're like super
Yeah.
expensive, but like I've been kind of checking with some coworkers and stuff, and you can get them much easier now than you
Right.
could 3 or 4
Yeah.
months ago.
I've
So.
almost done it several times, but right now, like I think I'm pretty close to buying a truck, so it's scary to think about a monthly payment on a vehicle and then dropping 500 or 600 bucks on a video game console. But we'll
Especially
get
when
there
adult life,
eventually.
especially when you couldn't afford a $200 Chiefs Bengals
Oh my gosh.
ticket.
All right. Well, let's move on. We
Back
don't
to
need to dwell on
football.
this.
John, how are you
Oh,
doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm really glad that Leighton got that dig in. If he could maybe reel it in a little bit, maybe stop building bookshelves, we could get some things done today.
I'm literally sitting right here.
Thanks, IKEA.
Thanks,
We're gonna
IKEA.
start talking about wide receivers, and Leighton's gonna be hammering in the
Yeah.
bookshelf and trying to
Dude.
follow his IKEA instructions.
Well, there's no words, but yeah, I wish this is not a sponsorship. I wish they would sponsor us, so I wouldn't have had to buy these bookcases. But basically, I know. So we're talking about wide receivers today. First thing, though, I want to talk about, we haven't really done a news segment in a while. I think this is kind of important to touch on. Commanders running back Brian Robinson got carjacked and then got shot in the leg. This literally sounds like something I'm making up, but this happened and potentially he could return this year, but I'm just kind of looking at it from a bird's eye view. John, I know you want to talk about this. What does this do for Antonio Gibson for you?
In no correlation, the suspect was Gantonio Pibson. So
Oh my
we're
gosh.
still looking into that. We don't
Bro,
know who
he
it could
just
have
got
been.
shot.
But anyway, back to NFL and real life, Antonio Gibson. this to me, it changes where I would have drafted him at. Like he is one of those guys who previously was falling in the draft, so it would have been much easier to stop the run on him and go ahead and take him with, like, I don't know, probably a mid fourth round pick, maybe a little earlier. I don't know where he would fall for you guys. I haven't done like an updated rankings or anything, but I don't know. Do you take him before Breece Hall, especially with the news that came out about Michael Carter?
Yes.
Nate?
I probably wouldn't still.
Yeah,
but I think you can make a case.
I'm close. He's in that range for me. So that's probably fifth round, maybe for Breece Hall. But yeah, I think it's significant. Even if he does come back this year, it's kind of the rumor right now is that he will be healthy and he'll be able to come back. But we'll see. It's I definitely think it gives Gibson a bump for sure.
Yeah, I'd agree. Totally.
That was a crazy piece of news, though. I remember I got the Twitter notification. I don't know if it was from Ian Rappaport or something. Like, it was literally 2 hours before like news came out that Brian Robinson got shot. That said, Ian Rappaport's tweet said that like Brian Robinson's been like promoted to like the starting role for the Commanders, and then. Just, I mean, it was like bang bang for me when I was scrolling through Twitter. It was like, then
no
this happened.
Pun
it was just
intended.
Like, you really had to say bang bang.
Let's go. That is legendary. That was the best moment of this podcast.
Oh
ever.
My God.
All time. That was an all timer.
I hate it.
It was a bang bang play. Let's go.
All right. I'm going.
All right. Next segment. Let's
I'm
go.
Going back to my bookcase. Wow. Nate,
yes,
we're gonna keep that in, by the way, so we're gonna keep
that's staying. I'm gonna have to mark
Nate,
this as an explicit
Nate has his
episode
in his face. Oh my gosh.
All right.
So why
so
did
who the Eagles trade for today?
Oh, we don't need to talk about that. It's not famous related.
I actually do want to talk about that.
You want to talk about Chauncey Gardner?
Yeah. Well, no, it was more just like, I feel like we haven't talked about any kind of like, it's not relevant really for fantasy, but if you were to get a late, who I think is going to be a top five defense this year in the Eagles, I think you grab the Eagles. They have a pretty easy start to their schedule too. So you can roster them for about first 4 weeks. I just had their schedule pulled up. They start the season with the Lions on the road at the Lions, which we've actually all determined that the Lions are kind of a legit offense now. So maybe that could backfire on us. But it goes, they go Lions, then Vikings. Vikings are going to be a tough one. But then Commanders, Jags, and Cardinals. I feel like that's a decent lineup for the first 4 weeks. I think I would just roll the dice with those four matchups with the Eagles. I feel like they could be pretty sneaky squad this year. But
one other quick piece of news is Marlon Mack cut by the Texans today.
Damian Pierce
to the moon. Let's go. Where do you guys take Damian Pierce now? Is he a value still, or is his ADP just going to skyrocket and he's not going to be worth it?
Sorry, if you're drafting tonight, he's a value. But if you're probably drafting this weekend and you're listening to this, if his ADP hasn't shot up, take him two or three rounds ahead of where he's going. Easy.
Yeah.
So where is that, though?
That's a great question. I mean,
is that like – so do you have to draft him like round 8 or 9?
Like, would you rather have him or Josh Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs.
Oh,
see, this is the thing now for me is he was at a great value, like you guys said. Was he going like 10th round?
Yeah, pick 105 right now.
Okay. Yeah, he was such a good value at that play. Like he hadn't quite won the starting role yet, but it seemed like he had a clear path to become the starting role, RB1. But now he's running back one in the Houston Texans offense. So you're drafting that now. Which that's not much, really. I know Rex Burkhead had some success last year. Houston is like, just like, they're going to play or they're going to run the ball. They're like so committed to it, even if it's not working.
Yeah, Lovey's come out and been adamant about that. He's like, we're an old school team. Like, we are going to pound the football.
Which it just seems like, I don't know if there's going to be a ton of great opportunities. I feel like I was watching a lot of Texans last year as a Brandon Cooks owner. And it was just like Mark Ingram over and over and over and over again. Just like couldn't get anywhere. So it's
that's
like
true.
Better than Mark Ingram.
He is.
He was
phenomenal at Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He
I'm probably comfortable taking a swing like mid eighth round,
seventh round. Because in the seventh round, you're looking at him or like Clyde, Miles Sanders, Damian Harris.
Okay, who would you draft? Because I know this guy's going around the same area. Damian Pierce or Juju?
I mean, it depends on what my team looks like.
You've got two running backs. You've got two running backs, a tight end, two wide receivers.
Damian Pierce.
I'm probably grabbing Juju. I think Juju has a league-winning upside. Is the thing. If you're a wide receiver one in the Kansas City offense, like, and you can get him at eighth round, seventh round, that's a phenomenal steal. Damian Pierce is just kind of insurance now.
Oh, okay.
He's not really somebody I want to start.
I will frame it a little differently in that, like, the difference between Juju and Elijah Moore, who they're going in like back to back rounds, is much more different than Damian Pierce. And like a Damian Williams, for example. So like I would much rather have Damian Pierce compared to Damian Williams than Juju to Elijah Moore.
You mean Damian Harris, right?
Sorry. Yeah, you mean Damian. Okay. Damian Harris, my bad.
Just making sure because I was like, hang on.
Both statements are mutual.
That's for sure.
But so just the positional value that you get with the running back. But Nate, this is also a really good point. Like Mark Ingram did have like a lot of 25 carry games where he ran for like 60 yards. Awful.
Yeah. I want to frame it a little differently. If this would have happened, for dynasty rookie drafts, where do you draft them now?
Not much different.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Just because,
where would you say he's going right now? Is he late first?
He's the turn.
Late first, early second.
The turn. He's definitely in the late first now for me. I probably wouldn't let him buy the 10 or the 9 if I had that
pick. You might. It was like Zach took Rashad White at the.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that you definitely have to take Damian Pierce before Rashad White.
Yeah.
Christian Watson is the other guy. But yeah, anyway.
All right.
Look out.
Interesting stuff. But moving on to the wide receivers. First up, shocker here, we have Cooper Kupp. John has him at 2, Nate and I have him at 1. I'm just going to briefly say Cooper Kupp's really good. He will not repeat what he did last year. But obviously he's a stud. I kind of just want to move on to who we have at 2nd, which is Justin Jefferson. Nate and I have him at 2, but John has him at 1. I just kind of want to hear your, I guess, argument or perspective on that.
Apples to apples. New head coach in Minnesota. Sounds like it's going to be an air raid offense. Mike Zimmer definitely was not the best offensive mind. Kirk Cousins is a very competent quarterback. Jefferson has already come out and said that he wants to have 2,000 yards receiving. I think he could surpass 14 touchdowns easily. I think he could just be an absolute monster this year. It seems like there's always – and Cooper Kupp was not this guy last year, but it seems like there's always one guy who it's like, okay, this could definitely be, like, their season. And it just feels like that for JJ this year.
This is interesting. Sleeper now has Justin Jefferson ranked ahead of Cooper Kupp. So 5 overall, Justin Jefferson – Cooper Kupp 6 overall.
It's always easier to side with youth as well.
So my thinking with, I mean, these guys, I think I would be totally happy with either of them. If it was my choice, I'm still probably taking Cooper Kupp. I just think that he doesn't have to repeat what he did last season to still be the wide receiver 1. He can have a pretty significant regression, even if Justin Jefferson builds upon his projections and what he did last year. I mean, Cooper Kupp put up like 440 fantasy points. Like, let's say a regression is like he goes down to 350 or something. That's like pretty staggering. Not even really close to what he did last year.
That still puts him. That's still six points higher than Devontae. Sorry.
And that puts him, yeah, 30 points ahead of what Justin Jefferson did last year. So I think if I call it like almost like a little margin of safety, where it's like, even if Cup can't get to what he did last year, he's got a lot of wiggle room to still be that number one. I do think I expect Justin Jefferson, though, to really progress this year. It's kind of the counter to that point, I guess, but that's probably why I'm ranking him there.
No, I agree with that. Am I good to move on, John? Or
yeah, I'm solid.
Okay, because at three we have consensus Jamar Chase. Nate has him at three. John at four. I have him at five. Does anybody want to talk about Jamar Chase in particular?
He's a solid pick. I don't think there's anything else to say. I think he should definitely go in the second round, in my opinion, but
Okay. Am I the only one that's kind of nervous about him?
Or am I just... think, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not nervous at all. Like, I think the only nerves for me with him is just the fact that you're taking, like, a non-top-tier receiver. Like, in my opinion, he's definitely outside the first tier of the receiving group this season.
Right. I don't know. Part of me is just nervous just because he's so – I feel like he's a really boomer bust last year. Obviously, when he boomed, it was like, whoa.
He boomed.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. Just part of me is kind of nervous about that. I guess it's just not what I like in a wide receiver one. I mean, obviously, he's going to get better, so that could change. But I don't know. When you have guys like – you know, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Devontae last year, and Debo, who were pretty consistent. You know, it's just, I guess, me being a little nitpicky, but it's just kind of all I had.
I think I started off kind of this draft season being pretty nervous about Jamar Chase, but have kind of come off of that a little bit. I feel much more comfortable with him now. I think he, if I were going to say that Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase was going to take a big step forward this year, I think it might be Jamar Chase. I think I would probably put money on Jamar Chase outperforming his projection compared to Justin Jefferson this year. I like the quarterback play more. I do think there are more – honestly, Minnesota and Cincinnati are pretty comparable, I think, in terms of just how balanced their offense is. I give Cincinnati the edge with the quarterback play. Both receivers, I think, are equally talented. I didn't love the boomer bust kind of archetype that Jamar Chase had last year. It just seemed it was a 35-point game or it was a 2-point game. There wasn't a ton of really consistent play throughout the year, really. But I think with another year in the system, just another year to like kind of figure out what weapon they have in Jamar Chase, they'll be able to incorporate him more. But, a scary point is T. Higgins is there in Cincinnati too. I feel like that could be one thing that is going to hurt his kind of target share and his upside is T. Higgins compared to, you know, an aging Adam Thielen in Minnesota. I'd probably give Jefferson the bump there.
Right.
But all three of those guys, absolutely love them.
I mean, yeah, you can't really go wrong. At number four, we have CeeDee Lamb, probably impartial to me. I have CeeDee Lamb at three, and Nate and John have at five. This is just total projection and kind of more swinging for the consistent upside just because in Dallas, like, who else are they throwing the ball to? I mean, Jalen Tolbert, their rookie, who's in second, third-round draft pick, is probably going to be their number two wide receiver to start the season because Gallup's on the PP. He's hurt, and I mean, you have Dalton Schultz, but, like, it has to go through CeeDee Lamb. I feel like their offense is just going to stutter. So I'm just projecting a lot more volume for him. And, I mean, he was still really good last year, so don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's just something I'm kind of banking on, I guess.
I think he's somewhere in between that 3 to 5. Yeah. I feel like this, for me, is kind of the clear second tier starting at four, really, with Lamb. He's the one guy in this kind of group, and we're going to talk about some more after, where I don't think he's in a great offensive system. That's the only knock that I'm giving him. I don't know if I think that whole offense regresses. He will, I think, be kind of – he'll just be eating targets, which is great. I don't know. Like you said, who else are they going to go to? But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Next up on the list, we have Stephon Diggs. Nate and I have him at 6. John, you have him at 3. So I'm going to kind of pass you the mic and you can show off your love for Stephon.
Yeah. You know, this one is interesting because if you were to ask me, like, oh, like, are you high on Diggs this season? I'd be like, not really. Like, you know, I think this is just, you know, like, he feels like one of those solidified top guys because he's in probably the best offense in the NFL. They're really good. They're really solid. Like it's hard to bet against them. I think Josh Allen is going to have yet again another phenomenal year for fantasy. They have a lot of vacated targets, and they have some great weapons to replace them with. I think Dawson Knox is an incredible role player. I think Gabe Davis is an incredible role player. Isaiah McKenzie, I think, is going to have a phenomenal role. And then Singletary was hot to finish the season, and they added James Cook. So, and Allen can do it with his feet too. So I think it's just a very diverse offense where you can't cover all of them. Like, we've seen it in Kansas City for a long time. You can't cover all of those guys. So, not trying to compare him for the Chiefs because it's a much different offense, but Stephon Diggs with a great quarterback like Josh Allen, it's hard to bet against that. And the volume that's available. I mean, he could actually see an uptick in targets this season, which is scary to think about. So, and I like the touchdown upside too. Dawson Knox, I think, had 10 touchdowns last year, which I would be shocked if he maintained or improved upon that number, and I could see one or two of those going to Diggs, which can make a big difference.
Yeah.
That's definitely
true. Nate, did you have anything? Or?
No, I agree with what John was saying. I mean, this is, however you want to skin it, this is one of the top three offenses in the NFL, I think. If you want to throw the Bucks, Chiefs, maybe – I don't even know who else you want to put in there, but Bengals. I'd say those three are, Bengals. That was kind of what I was thinking. Going to be the Vikings this year. Those three or four are probably top tier offenses in the NFL. Bills did get rid of Manuel Sanders and Cole Beasley this year, but they also brought in Jameson Crowder, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he is there.
So, I mean, there's that's
he's there.
That's kind of a decent chunk of target share going out and probably a very little piece of in like targets coming into that offense. So I think there's more to go around. I mean, Diggs is always going to get his share of targets. But like John said, I think that's probably the biggest point for me is the touchdown regression for Knox and probably some progression for Diggs and probably Gabe Davis too throughout the regular season. I really like his upside as well, but Diggs definitely, you're getting the number one receiver in a high power offense.
True. Next we have Devontae Adams at number 6. I have him at 7. Nate has him at 4, and John, you have him at 6. I'm a little bit nervous about Devontae Adams just because he's on the Raiders, and it's not because I'm a Chiefs fan. I don't know how many – Derek Carr doesn't throw a lot of touchdowns. I'm just going to put it that way. So I know he's going to get a ton of targets, but just I'm curious to see what will happen. And statistically, when top receivers change teams, they almost never equal the same amount of points they had last year, which would be a lot for him. But you always kind of see a decrease. So, Nate, I know you're kind of higher than both of us. So what kind of, I guess, attracts you to that? That's kind of weird.
I just think that I don't know. I think I like Devontae Adams for this year. I think he's one guy who did take a step back in terms of quarterback play. I think that's there's no argument there that Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr is a bit of a downgrade.
But he went from a Hall of Famer to another Hall of Famer, right?
That's right. We'll definitely see about that.
We'll see.
but I think I still really like his upside here. He's being drafted on Sleeper as the wide receiver 4. I probably am not taking him there. Actually, that doesn't really make any sense because I have him as my wide receiver 4. So I kind of just backed myself into that.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
but I do like Devontae Adams, and partially a bit of it is that I don't think Darren Waller is going to be available for much of the season this year. I'm really nervous about him. I'm extremely bearish on Darren Waller right now, just with kind of what's going around with their contract talks with Darren Waller. It seems to be kind of a stalemate going on right now, and his training camp injuries that's been lingering. And I saw some stat recently that players that suffer injuries during training camp and don't practice or play in any of their preseason games are busts at their position. And so I think Darren Waller not being available for a lot of this year or being productive feeds right into Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfro as well. I'm kind of climbing on Hunter Renfro this year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I still think Devontae Adams is, in terms of talent, he's might be the most talented receiver in the NFL still.
Yeah. No, that's the tough part because I don't think we've seen a guy kind of like him.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, that was nice. So.
Or should I say be good this good for so long, so I totally get what you're saying. I guess my next player or not my next player the next player coming in at number 7 is Debo Samuel. I guess I didn't realize I was a huge Debo Samuel fan, but apparently I am. He is number 4 for me, number 7 for Nate and John, so I guess I'll kind of take the floor. I really like Debo this year, and I feel like a lot of people are looking down on him just because Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. And he's the number 3 wide receiver last year. He had 340 fantasy points total, PPR format. And just got a new contract, so he's not going anywhere. That kind of cloud's all gone, which is great. And I kind of think that having Trey Lance will give him more opportunities for big plays in the passing game. Because obviously Kyle Shanahan wants to give him the ball as much as possible. And if it wasn't for Cooper Kupp last year, I think people would be talking about Debo Samuel a ton more. Because 340 fantasy points like 3 years ago would have been by far the number 1 wide receiver. So obviously a lot of good wide receivers last year. And I know we talked about it beforehand. You guys don't dislike him. You just like other guys better. I just personally think Debo Samuel's pretty, pretty safe in my eyes. And there's a really high upside. I think he can repeat what he did last year, no problem. So,
yeah, I think Debo's just, I mean, I love Debo. He's an incredible player. I've had him in a few fantasy leagues, have him in a couple dynasty leagues right now. He's awesome. I'm just a little nervous for this year if they're going to take away that kind of rushing threat for Debo or that kind of opportunity. I think, yeah, like you said, the bigger play, more explosive play opportunity will be there because Trey Lance can provide that. I'm not totally sold on Trey Lance as an NFL quarterback yet. Like him for taking a fantasy risk this year. But sure. I think that's just a lot of risk there for me with Debo at this ADP. It's mostly for me just the rushing. I wish I had his rushing stats from last year pulled up, but it just seems like he's not open to doing that anymore. Wants to be just like kind of your run-of-the-mill wide receiver again. If you take that –
sorry, last year he had 365 rushing yards and 8 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's quite a bit. So, maybe some of that comes in the form of, you know, passes. Bigger plays down the field. Yeah, passes. And so, I don't know. that's I just don't expect that to be there, and that's why I'm kind of a little bit down on Debo compared to
I know they like to give him a lot of like jet sweeps, kind of like what they do with what the Chiefs do with Tyreek. So that's kind of a, I guess, a option for him. But I don't, I'm not so worried about the touchdowns. But yeah, the volume of rushing will definitely go down. So number eight, John, we have Mike Evans. You and Nate have him at eight. I have him at nine. I feel like we've been doing this for like the past
9 years.
Well, like the past like three seasons, especially, like people just don't want him, but he's always good. So like
he's a beast.
You think it's just name fatigue or?
Yeah, he's the ageless man. Honestly, like him and Tom Brady are going to be playing for a very long time together, and they're always going to be good. Mike Evans, I think you sleep well at night knowing that he's your wide receiver one. Yeah, I don't think there's really anything much to say there. Like, he probably has the most solidified target share in the NFL, honestly, because he is so, so consistent.
What's his ceiling?
Wide receiver one.
Really?
Fully believe it. Like, if Mike Evans finishes wide receiver one for the year, I'd be like, yeah.
Nate?
It's fully possible.
Really?
I'm going
to
say
he has enough touchdown upside. Like, you have to be able to score touchdowns. Mike Evans is a touchdown monster.
That's the thing with Mike Evans is he probably out of anybody else, maybe not Cooper Kupp, but he gets like the like valuable looks in the red zone. Like Tom Brady is just chucking that thing up and Mike Evans is coming down with it.
Yes.
I'd probably say his ceiling is like wide receiver two or three for me. I feel like at least one of those other guys we've talked about earlier probably beats him out. Mike Evans just – he's not like the sexy pick. He's not really like the yards after catch guy, or at least we don't think of him like that. He kind of is still. He's a good runner. What's crazy, John, is I just got him as my second wide receiver, and I went running back to start my draft. I got Mike Evans in the fourth round. People are sleeping on this guy right now, and I do not get it.
What round did you get him in?
In the fourth round. I got him at the turn at the fourth round. So I was the 4-of-2 pick.
I got him at 4-of-5 last night too.
It's ridiculous. I don't know what's getting into people these days. There's something in the water, I guess. But
that's awesome. Well, and I guess I can defend it a little bit because, again, it's never one of those guys that's like, oh, yeah, like I got Mike Evans. But, like mm-hmm. – We probably should react that way because he's so consistent.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean.
Absolutely love him.
Pretty solid. I guess the next – I keep saying I guess. The next guy on the list is Michael Pittman. He's my wide receiver 8, John, wide receiver 9, Nate, wide receiver 11. John, I'm going to pass it back to you because you broke my heart on draft day with Michael Pittman, so – I don't want to talk about him.
This one to me is like this was like the take your shot pick. I feel like this is going to be the one guy who coming out of last season, you know, you wouldn't have been like, oh yeah, like Michael Pittman has a chance to be top 10 next year. The addition of Matt Ryan, the evolution of the offense, they've talked about wanting to throw the ball more. I think that Pittman could finish anywhere from like 7 to 20, honestly. Like, really? Pittman could have a letdown year and finish as a wide receiver 20. Because, yes, we've, like, in a smaller sample, we've seen him produce. I'm excited to see it as a more extended and consistent production. But this one's a risky one for me. But I do like Michael Pittman this year.
Yeah, obviously I love him. I was kind of kidding. Well, you did break my heart, but I definitely love him this year. I think he was the wide receiver 17 last year. You give him an upgraded quarterback. I just likes to throw more. And one thing that I've seen a lot is Matt Ryan loves to target one guy. Like, remember Roddy White, Julio Jones. Like, there never really was like a super consistent wide receiver 2 in Atlanta. And it always interested me. So I definitely believe that Michael Pittman's going to be that guy for Matt Ryan. So I'm very, very excited. Obviously, wide receiver 17 last year. I think he could be one of those guys that you take and will just really help win you a league. So moving on, I have AJ Brown, number 10, same as John. Nate has him at 9. Consensus 10 overall. So Nate, why don't you talk about AJ Brown for me?
This one's just kind of a feel right now for me. Is I really like AJ Brown for this year. I think we've heard good reports out of training camp and kind of how he's gotten into the offense with Jalen Hurts. He's definitely been Jalen's favorite target through training camp so far. I don't think we saw those guys in the preseason at all, did we? I don't remember them playing any drives or anything.
I think AJ Brown had a few, but not many. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah. Yeah. This one's just more of a feel. I think I love just AJ Brown being one of the more talented receivers in this area. I think he's one of my favorite wide receivers in the game right now. It kind of stinks that we haven't seen a healthy AJ Brown in a while. I'm really glad that he's out of Tennessee. I think he's getting an upgraded quarterback this year. From Tannehill to Jalen Hurts, I think it's going to be a more explosive offense that they're in, not so dependent on Derrick Henry run game. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. I really like his upside for where he's being drafted. I mean, this is a guy who was a borderline, like, late first round pick, early second round pick last year. And now he's dropping to like the fourth round.
Still very young too.
Still very young too. If he can have a full healthy season, I mean, I think he's a really solid option.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Next, we have the snake, Tyreek Hill at number 11. Nate and John and Layton have him at 11. Nate has him at 10. Man, I just can't do it. I guess my mind's just still on the bookcase. Yeah, we have him at wide receiver 11. I mean, guys, if we were talking about fantasy in March, did any of us think Tyreek Hill would be the 11th wide receiver taken?
No. No chance.
Yeah. I've been avoiding him. I don't think there's any chance I'd take him anywhere. Just like in any of my drafts. He's going like in the second, mid to late, even early third round. I don't love him. Does anybody want to paint a more positive picture?
He's an upside pick.
Yeah.
Like, but you have to take him in the second round.
Yeah,
that's just like where he's going. So you're not really taking, like, you know, low floor, high upside guys in the second round, unless it's a running back like Javonte Williams. Like, I can understand taking Javonte if positionally you need a running back, but what? He's just not worth the risk. He should fall to the late third, in my opinion. Like, I think that's about where I'd feel more comfortable taking Tyreek. If you had the turn, if you had the 10th pick and you were going last pick in the third, first pick in the fourth, I think I'd take Tyreek there.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree.
Which is crazy. Crazy.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely got paid a lot of money. I think if you had any other quarterback besides Tua, might be a different story. Maybe well next year. Who knows?
he might.
If I was a betting man, you might. Next up, we have DJ Moore. John doesn't even have him in his top 15, so clearly not going to pass it to John here. Nate and I both have him at 12. Nate, I wasn't really a DJ Moore fan until they got Baker Mayfield, and that is kind of what shot it up for me. Is that kind of your thinking as well?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I think Baker is going to be the best quarterback that DJ Moore's played with in his career so far. Has he played with Cam Newton?
Played Cam Newton.
Oh, he did.
Sam Darnold.
Well, I guess last year, technically.
No, I think in
one. Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. PJ Walker.
Yeah. So Baker Who? Mayfield.
PJ Walker?
Uh-huh. A huge upgrade. Yeah.
I don't remember that name at all.
So
yeah,
basically,
he's in the XFL. Sorry. Go ahead,
Nate. DJ Moore's. His whole narrative has been is he never gets touchdown receptions. I think on his whole career. He's played like 4 or 5 years and he has like 11 or 12. He's wait, what was that, Layden?
No, he like his highest touchdown in a season is 5.
Yeah. And I think he's just a very underrated talent. Like, I think he's an awesome wide receiver. He's always getting his, you know, well, how, I would need to look up how many receiving yards he had last year.
No, I got it. Keep going.
No, yeah. He's always getting his, like, 1,100 yard receiving yard seasons. Yep. 1,100 yards the last 3 years.
Yep.
Just no touchdowns. I just think he's one guy who's, like, totally set up to take a jump forward. He, dude. With, go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's had over 1,100 yards the past 2 seasons. And his touchdown total since he entered the league is 2, 4, 4, and 4. So yeah,
he is a crazy one where it's like, I just, how has he not gotten more touchdowns than that?
This has to be a record. He had 163 targets last year, caught 93 of them, and I'm not blaming him for that. And he had 4 touchdowns. That has, like, with the amount of volume that went his way last year, that's mind blowing. Yeah. Like, if he gets that with Baker, I think it's going to be a lot different story.
And that's the thing. So he ended the year last year as the wide receiver 18. He's currently being drafted on sleeper at the wide receiver 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's a guy that I just think it's so easy for him to be a, like, good pick, for him to beat his ADP. Like, I don't think it's going to take that much for him. It's staying the course like he's been doing, hauling in a few more of those targets that hopefully hit him in the numbers with Baker, not sailing over his head. Maybe it's a few more touchdowns. And I think he's on his way to a top 12 wide receiver year.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think the last, like, 3 years has been his floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I would 100%. Agree.
Like, I don't think he's ever reached the ceiling because of the quarterback play offense. So, I mean, man, I should try to get DJ Moore more. But, second one of the time. Not as good as your bang bang. But I don't think there's anywhere to go but up, if you're asking me. So,
yeah.
Number 13. Let's just run through these last three really quick. We have DK Metcalf, Keenan Allen, Cortland Sutton. Kind of all of their question marks, but all have something to be optimistic about. John, is there one you want to quickly highlight, I guess?
There is one I want to quickly highlight. That would be Juju Smith-Schuster. I've been a truther for him probably ever since we came into the offseason, and he signed with the Chiefs. I didn't really want him to sign with the Chiefs. I was adamant about it. I can't deny it. I have to go back on that and say I'm very glad that he did sign with Kansas City. I hope he has a great year. I think he has the possibility to break into the top 10. Playing with Patrick Mahomes is just – you can't really compare Mahomes to what Roethlisberger has been for the past few seasons. If Juju can stay healthy, watch out, because he is – going to be a phenomenal replacement for Tyreek. Love his upside. I love his floor, honestly. I think Sky could maybe crack into that volume a little bit towards the end of the year. But it's going to be interesting to see how Sky is utilized, and MVS as well. That's another big question mark. So I love Juju this year. You know, draft him with confidence in the 7th or 8th round.
I agree. Nate, anybody else you want to highlight?
Yep, I definitely want to talk about DK Metcalf.
Okay.
Layden, I kind of talked to you about this last night. DK Metcalf is a guy that I just kind of written off during draft season so far, just kind of a guy I did not want to touch, being that he was in Seattle, where I feel like he's being really underutilized there, hasn't gotten really consistent target share in that system, and now he's getting a downgrade at cornerback or quarterback. It sounds like it's going to be Geno Smith as QB1 to start the year in Seattle, but I don't think that hurts him, and here's why. I have a few stats to back this up. So DK Metcalf has played 5 games with Geno Smith. over his career so far.
That's a lot.
And in these five games, DK Metcalf has put up 18 points, 27 points, 12 points, 18 points, and 22 points. And he's gotten over six targets in each of those games.
So
and he's hauling in quite a few of those targets. And so
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, is this a pro DK Metcalf or a con for Tyler Lockett?
Well, it's everything this year is a con for Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
That's a guy I'm not touching.
Including Tyler Lockett's talent. That's also a problem that's hard to overcome when you're not good at football.
Gosh. Wow, John.
But I just think DK right now, where he is on sleeper, he's being drafted after Terry McLaurin, Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore, who we just talked about, Jaylen Waddle, right after Cortland Sutton. I just think that DK is talent-wise at the top of that list or near the top. And I think this situation that he's in Seattle isn't as bad as we're making it out to be. I think they're going to be an offense that's going to be losing a lot of games. They're going to be throwing it a lot. And I mean, these stats here is what made me feel comfortable that Geno Smith can get the ball to DK Metcalf.
Well done, Nate. I couldn't have agreed more. It was wonderful.
John just perked up. It's like, oh, we have the book of Najee, and now we have Metcalf.
I recognize so many of these names on my dynasty team that it just makes me happy. And redraft as well, actually, you know, so it's whatever.
I mean, I wish I knew this before we went into our redraft, because DK was a value pick. Like, he was falling. Nobody was reaching for him, really.
Yeah.
Who ended up coming out with him?
Not me.
Not me.
Wasn't you. I can't remember who it was.
I have no idea. I'll look.
Yeah.
But with that list of the guys around there, I'm probably taking a couple of them ahead of DK. Like, I'm probably taking DJ Moore ahead of him this year.
Me too.
But that's about it. Maybe Jaylen Waddle.
No.
But other than that, like, DK was just – I wasn't touching him no matter what. I would take anybody else ahead of him, and now –
That's fair.
Price is right. I would take DK.
It was Kyle.
Ah, that's a shame. Kyle doesn't listen. He won't hear it.
Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard. That's a great combo right there. My guy before we got here is Mike Williams. I really like Mike Williams this year. Obviously started out really hot, got hurt, kind of like stumbled through the middle of the season and kind of bounced back towards the end. But I really like Mac Williams. So just got to keep your eye out on him. But yep. Go ahead.
Should we real quick, can we come to a consensus on the biggest snub of this list? Maybe we can do it outside of any of our top 15s or just the consensus top 15. Who do you think should or has the best case to be in there?
I think a name that didn't make any of our top 15 that has to be listed is T. Higgins. He's probably the most consistent one who is included in one of three top 15s, you know, of anybody else.
Mm-hmm. What, John, what's your feelings with T. Higgins?
We talked about this before. It's more of an argument for Ja'Marr Chase and less of an argument against T. Higgins. It's very tough to sustain two top 15 wide receivers, and obviously that's what they'd both have to be because Ja'Marr is not falling outside the top 15. If something happens to Joe Mixon or if something happens to Ja'Marr, T. Higgins to the moon. But as it stands right now, like, I don't know. I feel like the offense has to be good, but it feels like there's going to be some regression somewhere. I don't know, just a gut feeling. But I'm not a huge T. Higgins truther, but as far as, like, recency bias goes, T. Higgins is definitely the popular one who didn't make our list.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me, not that I'd put him in my top 15, but just gotta keep an eye out is Hollywood Brown for the Cardinals with D Hop out. I think he's gonna go off the first 6 weeks and he'll come down a little bit, but I still think he's gonna be pretty good this season.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Mine's probably, I'm between two guys. I'm probably going to say Deontay Johnson. He's probably, I mean, he was getting drafted, like we were saying, ahead of DJ Moore and DK and Cortland Sutton. All guys who we have in the top 15. Deontay's not. I feel like you could make a case for him. I don't know how to feel about Deontay Johnson. I think so much set up for him to be successful in Pittsburgh last year and the year before with how that offense was designed around Big Ben's arm that was just hanging on by a thread. So, I mean, it's easy for me to think that he's going to regress this year with the new system, but, I mean, he could be a really talented wide receiver.
Yeah,
that could be incredible and be more of a downfield threat. So I don't really know.
Yeah, definitely interesting. Well, again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Good luck on your drafts this weekend. And, again, follow us on Instagram at @fantasy_chumps. You know, shoot us some questions and DMs. Josh, looking at you. But just like, you know, interact with us. We love to talk with you guys about fantasy football. So just let us know what we can do. And good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. I'll tell you no matter.